Yeah, it's the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. I just decided today I've got to have something to, something that sounds a little bit happy. Nothing does that like Beach Boys music, right? You know, this is for you old people out there. The Beach Boys, remember them? Call it our little summer celebration here on the Molloy program. Although there's not a whole hell of a lot to celebrate, but, when the going gets tough, the tough fake it.
Well, we can celebrate the fact that McCain had another little tiny piece of his body carved away today.
Oh, you're
part of the homunculus is gone.
You're awful. Oh, my God, you're awful. You're going to burn in hell.
Bit by bit, we'll defeat him.
Yeah. Anyway, tonight is we're going to do some Beach Boy music, Beach Boys music tonight as bumper music, and the hour opens because for no reason other than the fact that that I like the Beach Boys. Somebody sent me an email coincidentally today and said, "Hey, how about doing a Led Zeppelin night?" Yeah, we'll do that, but we got to do something here. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser. We have some information about the guy who shot up the church in. The Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church on over the weekend, on Sunday, with all the kids in there. His reading list consists of books by Bill O'Reilly, Michael Savage, and Sean Hannity. No surprise there when you stop and consider what the reading list was who's the guy that blew up the Murrah Federal Building? Timothy McVeigh, right? Another right-wing terrorist. This country grows right-wing terrorists as just a matter of course. They pop up like mushrooms in cow dung after a rainstorm constantly. The strange part to me is the fact that incidences of right-wing terrorism in this country are as low as they are. A lot was made about the former weatherman guy who worked for the radical faction of the Weathermen back in the 60s and 70s, and how certain members of the Weatherman faction would come up with all these plans about building pipe bombs and stuff. But the only person who's ever murdered 160-plus Americans in the heartland was a right-wing former soldier named Timothy McVeigh. In instance after instance, the militia movement, the anti-immigrant movement, the anti-black movement, the anti-woman movement, all of these movements are all right-wing terrorists, every single one of them. Every single one of them. So the guy who shot up Unitarian Church in Knoxville, outside of Knoxville, we'll have some information about that a little bit later in the program. Also, what do we got tonight? Anything good, or is it just going to be another boring ass night? Oh yeah, I want to do that right away. Bring up that Campbell Brown piece. Last week the non-impeachment hearings were held in John Conyers' Judiciary Committee, and Campbell Brown and a woman named Erica Hell. Is that her name, Erica Hell? I don't know. Campbell Brown is a class A right winger. I think she may not come from Fox, but she worked her way up to CNN or worked her way down to CNN, depending on your point of view. But Ms. Campbell Brown has made it very clear where her sentiments lie as far as politics are concerned. And this is not just say, oh, well, it's because you're a liberal, Molloy, and you see bias in everybody. No, 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 no. I'll tell you what. You listen to this clip. and then you tell me. This is Campbell Brown and Erica Hell.
Thought there was big news on Capitol Hill today. Democrats were talking about impeaching the president, but actually, it was all just stagecraft. And Erica Hill is here. Tell us about this piece of kabuki theater, Erica.
Oh, and Campbell Theater it was. Today's House Judiciary Committee hearing was officially billed as an examination of executive power and its constitutional limitations.
Ooh.
But from the beginning, it was pretty clear this was all just stagecraft for what one Republican lawmaker deemed impeachment light. The Democratic leadership made it clear impeachment is not on the table at this hearing today for two reasons. Not only is there not enough time left in President Bush's term, but also they know any real impeachment hearings at this point could cause a major backlash against the party come November. So if you can't impeach, why not vent? And that is exactly what they did. Take a listen.
To the regret of many, this is not an impeachment hearing.
Based upon all of the things that this administration has done, it is probably the most impeachable administration in the history of America because of the ways in which it has clearly violated the law.
President Bush is the worst president our country has ever suffered.
Seeing words here, but I have to point out, Campbell, they were very carefully chosen, and this is probably my favorite part of the stagecraft. Apparently all Democrats on hand had a copy of the House rules in front of them just to remind them what they could not say because this was not about impeachment. Among those rules, there could be no personal abuse, innuendo, or ridicule of the president. Also, no calling the president a liar. You can't accuse him of lying. Get this. Can't accuse him of raping the truth, or my personal favorite right down here, you can't call the president a little bugger.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Who knew? All right, so this is really just stagecraft, not to mention a real waste of taxpayer money and Congress's time.
A waste of our money?
Yeah. Did any Republicans show up for it?
Actually, a few did. Most Republicans did. Boycotted.
I would listen.
A few were there, and those who did attend, as you
said, were
downright disgusted.
Oh, they're disgusted.
This week, it seems that we are hosting an anger management class.
Ow!
Nothing is going to come out of this hearing with regard to
impeachment. Campbell, isn't this funny?
Instead, it conducts a do-over hearing that amuses our terrorist friends greatly and that would make Alice in Wonderland roll her eyes.
How?
Well, it turns out Representative Lamar Smith was right. There was no impeachment measure that came out of it. As for the president today, clearly not too worried about this hearing. He was in Peoria, Illinois, as you can see here, kissing babies, smiling, taking pictures. Not a care in the world. Check out that guy with his little shades on.
Cute baby.
Very cute. I can't get my hands on those.
And there's the president. Good stuff tonight. Erica Hill, as always, thanks.
Yeah, good stuff, Erica Hill. Yeah, Kabuki Theater. What is Kabuki Theater? What does that term mean? Campbell, or was it Erica? I defy either one of you twits to define Kabuki Theater. But see how can you believe this? Ow, gag me with a subpoena order. Oh, my God. They just sat there and went on and on and on about the President of the United States. Ow, Campbell, I thought I was going to wet myself. It was just so kabuki. Well, girls, glad you saw the levity and lightheartedness in the proceedings. Glad it registered with the two of you twits as fun and games, something to mock, something to laugh at, something to be derisive about, huh? Wasn't that fun, girls, huh? Oh, the two of you are such sterling reporters. Tossing it back and forth like that. Oh, my goodness. First to Campbell, then to Erica, and then back to Erica, and over to Campbell, and back to Erica. Oh, did you see this? They were trying to save taxpayer money or spend it or something. Really? Taxpayer? Deep breath. Okay, all right. We have something for you from factcheck.org. This is all old last week's stuff, but it's about the ad that the McCain campaign ran regarding Barack Obama's decision not to go to Landstuhl Air Base Hospital to visit the visit wounded soldiers. All that and much more. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Beach Boys Night here on Nova M Radio. The way they talk, they knock me out when I'm down there. The Midwest farmer daughters really make you feel all right. And the northern girls with the way they kiss, they keep their boyfriends warm at night. I wish they
go gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
She forgot all about the library like she told her old man now. And with the radio blast and go cruising just as fast as she can now. And she'll have fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes a T-bird away. Fun, fun, fun till her daddy takes a T-bird away.
21 past the hour. So the McCain troop attack ad against Barack Obama is utterly false. Factcheck.org wrote that the insinuation that the visit was canceled because of the press ban or the desire for gym time is false. Now, we talked about this last week, but I think it takes a little there should be a little bit more focus on this because this is going to continue. McCain is a rotting, lying, old bastard who will say anything and whose backers will do anything to continue this reign of terror by these Republican thugs, even while McCain is literally falling apart. I mean, the man is just falling apart. But the ad starts out, the announcer says, Barack Obama never held a single Senate hearing on Afghanistan. He hadn't been to Iraq in years. He voted against funding our troops. And now, he made time to go to the gym, but canceled a visit with wounded troops. Seems the Pentagon wouldn't allow him to bring cameras. John McCain is always there for our troops. McCain, country first. Hi, I'm John McCain, my friends, and I approve this message. All right, that's with the appropriate images, scummy images from this falling apart former human being. The ad says Obama made time to go to the gym, but canceled a visit with wounded troops. The announcer then goes on to say that it seems the Pentagon wouldn't allow him to bring cameras, implying that that's the reason Obama canceled the visit. Now, the truth is Obama did cancel his visit to Longitude Regional Medical Center at the last minute after planning it for weeks, and it's a fact that reporters and their cameras would not have been allowed to accompany him. Furthermore, Obama did go to the gym that day, as he does every day, because he doesn't want his face to start falling off the way McCain's seems clearly intent on doing. Barack Obama is a young man. Did he stop smoking yet? He would like to be a healthy man. He exercises. What does McCain do? He has things cut off his face and drinks beer, I guess. Ugh. Obama says he never planned to take reporters on the Longitude visit, and Department of Defense rules prohibited him from taking reporters on previous visits, visits he made with wounded troops. This is nothing new. McCain, whose face seems to be falling off, wants you to believe that this was all because Obama couldn't take cameras. McCain is a liar, in other words. Reporters were not allowed to accompany Obama when he visited wounded troops at Walter Reed Medical Center in June. When Obama visited wounded troops in Baghdad earlier on his overseas trip, he did not go. He did so without reporters. He didn't go with any reporters. He went with no fanfare. He went, according to Democratic Senator Jack Reed, who accompanied him just to say thanks.
And it's true that Obama made time for at least one workout while he was in Germany, and he's been known to dedicate more than a few minutes to his exercise program, probably because he doesn't want to start rotting and falling apart. Now, the military's stated policy is to avoid any activity that may be reasonably viewed as directly or indirectly associating the Department of Defense with a partisan political activity. That's what the rule says. Members of Congress are allowed to be photographed with the troops and appear with them while serving as public officials, but not as political candidates. So when Obama was in Kuwait and Iraq, he was traveling without reporters or campaign staff and visited military installations as part of a congressional delegation that included Senator Reid, Democrat of Rhode Island, and Chuck Hagel, Republican of Nebraska. Hagel said afterwards on CBS's Face the Nation, on July 27th, which was what? Yesterday, quote, "We saw troops everywhere we went on the congressional delegation. We went out of our way to see troops." That's what Hagel said. But Hagel and Reid dropped off after the delegation visited the Middle East, and the European leg of Obama's trip was a campaign trip. Even so, Obama planned to leave reporters behind for this visit to Landstuhl, according to a press briefing by his campaign spokesman, Robert Gibbs. Gibbs said reporters would have been left behind, though there may have been a pool report afterward, since reporters would not be allowed inside the hospital. Any pool reports would have noted only the fact of Obama's coming and going with no photographs, as was the case with Obama's June 28th visit to Walter Reed. McCain is a liar, and the devil is eating his face off because he's lying. And the devil will continue to eat McCain's face off until there is nothing there but a skull.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Twenty-five before the hour. Now, in addition to the lies that this filthy, putrid McCain campaign is putting out, the former chief of medical operations for the U.S. Air Force in Europe, the headquarters of which is at Ramstein Air Base in Germany, today ripped into John McCain's troop ad, with the one that attacks Barack Obama for not making a campaign event of a visit to wounded troops. She is Dr. Catherine Shearman. She was the chief of medical operations during Operation Iraqi Freedom. She said in a statement the following, quote, "John McCain's ad is dishonest and shameful. And I say that as a former chief of medical operations. Senators Hagel and Reid confirmed to Bob Schieffer yesterday that Senator Obama visited the combat support hospital in Baghdad, as part of their operation with no media present. In Germany, Senator Obama made the right decision to respect wounded troops and the doctors and nurses doing crucial and time-sensitive work by not making a visit that was characterized as a campaign event by the Pentagon. Senator Obama should be thanked
for putting our military above politics. And I would hope that John McCain would think in those same terms the next time he is put in a similar situation. Senator Obama has voted for the troops when John McCain has not, most recently on the new GI Bill. I am happy that Senator Obama puts the welfare of our troops above politics. End quote. This is an Air Force colonel, retired, Dr. Catherine Shearman. And to the mouth breathers, the right-wing bastards out there, it doesn't make any difference. This lynch site, World News, World Net News Daily, or whatever the hell it's called, it is nothing more than an online lynching site. Read some of their postings sometimes if you think it's not. They are already putting the story out that Obama is putting together a secret something. I don't know, police force or I don't know. Would that he were. Would that he were, so he would go to WorldNet Daily and round them all up and take them to their favorite lynch site and dispose of them. They're scum. They're filth. But it's going to be really bad. Okay, once the conventions are over, again, McCain is rotting away. He only has so much time before his head's going to fall off. And his snake-eyed woman is going to pick his head up and start laughing hysterically, I guess. I don't know, scoop the brains out and fill it full of beer, something? I don't know. These people are weird. They're very weird. Very weird. So in the meantime, until McCain's head does fall off, we're going to have to put up with just absolute flat-out total fabrications, all of it just a lie. This is the way it goes. This is American politics from the Republican right. Hopefully Obama will respond and just say, look, you know, the guy did it again, but we're going to continue on. And I hope he does that. Oh, by the way, Campbell Brown, yes, J.C. Roberts sent this to me and a couple other people. She is married to Daniel Senor. Do you remember him? Do you remember Daniel Senor? He's a contributor to Fox News, frequent contributor to Wall Street Journal. He's the author of an upcoming book about the economy of Israel and globalization of the Middle East. He's most noted for his former position. He was the chief spokesperson for the original Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq. Remember him? A little burr-headed bastard that would stand up there and lie through his teeth during the reign of then-presidential envoy L. Paul Bremer III, the administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority. Remember that? Huh? Remember him? Sure you do! Now, excuse me, some people with more brains than a little pissant like Senor criticize Senor in the role of chief spokesman for the CPA because of his inability to speak Arabic. Why was he there? What was he doing? Well, he was another loyal, neoconservative, Likudnik, pro-Israel, right-wing freak. So obviously he's going to be there. Why not? He traveled to Baghdad in mid-April after the invasion in one of the first civilian convoys to enter Iraq. He advised Paul Bremer on a variety of policy and communications issues, and during Operation Iraqi Freedom, he was based at CENTCOM headquarters in Qatar, where he was director of the Coalition Information Center. In other words, Dan Senor is a lying son of a bitch propaganda expert, and he happens to be Campbell Brown's husband. So now we know why Campbell Brown and Erica Hell were just all the Twitter and laughing. You got that thing. It played again. Have you got? Can you cue it up and play it again? This is about the. You got to hear this again. Keep in mind now who. I'm sorry. You got it. Keep in mind who Campbell Brown's husband is. Just play a little bit. I'll tell you when to cut it. Go ahead.
You might have thought there was big news on Capitol Hill today.
Democrats
were talking about impeaching the president.
Woo!
But actually, it was all just stagecraft. And Erica is here. Tell us about this piece of Kabuki Theater.
Kabuki
Erica.
Theater. Yeah, okay, that's enough. That's enough. Get rid of these two freaks. This piece of Kabuki Theater. Oh, and my husband says so.
Dan Senor.
The shooting in Knoxville, was it in Knoxville? Guy went to the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church and opened fire during a kids' program because he hated liberals. Hated liberals. According to the AP, an out-of-work truck driver accused of opening fire at this church, killing two people, left behind a note suggesting that he targeted the congregation out of hatred for its liberal policies, including its acceptance of gays, authorities said Monday. Four-page letter found in Jim Atkinson's small SUV indicated he intentionally targeted the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church because the police chief said, quote, he hated the liberal movement and was upset with liberals in general as well as with gays, end quote. Atkinson, 58 years old, was on the verge of losing his food stamps. He had 76 rounds with him when he entered the church, pulled a shotgun from a guitar case during the children's performance of the musical Annie. It appears, according to the police chief in Knoxville, it appears that what brought him to this horrible event was his lack of being able to obtain a job, his frustration over that, and his stated hatred for the liberal movement, end quote. So, what happens, you take some twisted, evil son of a bitch like this, who probably started out as just kind of a typical right-wing, white, southern knuckle-dragger, but after Hannity and Limbaugh and Savage and the rest of these people get through with him and the Bush crime family's economic policies get through with him, he has been converted into a non-human who will walk into a church and open fire during a child's theater presentation. An acquaintance told the Knoxville News Sentinel that Atkinson was a loner who hated blacks, gays, and anyone different from him. Court records reviewed by the Associated Press shows that his former wife obtained an order of protection in March 2000 when the two were still married. The couple had been married for about 10 years when his wife requested the order after Atkinson threatened, quote, to blow my brains out and then blow his brains out too, end quote. She told the judge that she was, quote, in fear for my life and what he might do, end quote. The Unitarian Universalist Church, if you're not aware, advocates for women's rights and gay rights and civil rights. It's provided sanctuary for political refugees. It also has fed the homeless, founded a chapter of the ACLU. You know, typical liberal nonsense. No wonder this guy hated them. Police affidavit used to get a search warrant for Atkinson's home said the suspect admitted to the shooting. Atkinson stated that he had targeted the church because of its liberal teachings and his belief that all liberals should be killed because they were ruining the country, and he felt that the Democrats had tied his country's hands in the war on terror, and that the Democrats and the liberals had ruined every institution in America with the aid of the major media outlets, end quote. That's according to an investigator. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds like the kind of vomit that is pumped into the heads of these people every day, coast to coast, border to border, 24/7, by co-conspirators like Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, Hugh Hewitt. The list goes on and on. Doesn't it? Huh? This is what comes out of listening to these right-wing thugs 24/7. More of this when we come back.
I got a letterman sweater with the letter in front. I got for football and track. I'm proud to wear it now when I cruise around the other parts of the town. I got my decal in back. So be true to your school.
Good, good time.
Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
Ten before the hour, the police in Knoxville said this murderer who broke into the church during his services, children's play, a production of Annie, and opened fire. Police said the suspect bought the shotgun he used at a pawn shop about a month ago, and he wrote the letter in the last week. Also, a .38 caliber handgun was found in his home. About 200 people from throughout the community, not just members of this church, were watching 25 children performing Annie when this brain-dead son of a bitch entered the church, pulled out a semi-automatic shotgun, and fired the fatal blast. Church member Barbara Kemper said the gunman shouted, quote, hateful words, end quote, before he opened fire. No children were hurt, but eight people were shot, including two who died. The two who died, one of them, Greg McKendry, 60 years old, was one of the people who, he put himself between the gunman and some of the other people in the congregation while other members of the congregation grabbed this piece of human waste and wrestled him to the floor and held him until the police arrived. But McKendry is one of the people who was killed. Also killed in the shooting was Linda Krager, 61, who was visiting the church from a different Unitarian Universalist congregation. Injured were Joe Barnhart, 76, and Jack Barnhart, 69, were brothers. Betty Barnhart, 71, Linda Chavez, 41, John Worth, 68, Tammy Summers, 38, Allison Lee, 42. Officers recovered 76 shells for a 12-gauge semi-automatic shotgun inside the church. Among those shells were the three spent rounds. Chief of police said, quote, he certainly intended to take a lot of casualties, end quote. Now, when the police went into his home with a search warrant, they found these right-wing books, Liberalism is a Mental Health Disorder by the pig Michael Savage, Let Freedom Ring by the piglet Sean Hannity, and something by Bill O'Reilly, The O'Reilly Factor by Bill O'Reilly. And, of course, the whole thing was a massive hate crime. People are dead. Children are utterly traumatized. I think anyone who listens to this program understands that I am a full-blown atheist, but the Unitarian Universalist Church is one of those churches that does absolutely nothing but decent, good work. And, yeah, they're liberals, and that's because conservatives do not do decent, good work. Conservatives are pigs. They're just absolute greedy, ignorant pigs, a very small percentage of whom ever makes it to that little teeny tiny top 0.1% tier that the other 99.9999% swear that someday they'll get to too, like this guy thought. Jim David Atkinson thought if he just had a break, if he could just be like Sean Hannity or Michael Savage or Timothy McVeigh, everything would be okay. Mike, can't say I'm surprised by the tragedy that befell my Unitarian Universalist brothers and sisters in Tennessee. Like you, I marvel that it happens so infrequently, though I guess I'm grateful that that is so. But it's only a matter of time. Liberals and freethinkers are now officially targets for killing. No doubt some one-celled organism from the Red Menace will want to call in tonight and respond with, but Mike, that guy was crazy. What's your point? MF, they are always crazy. Hitler was crazy. Stalin was crazy. The oil slick in the White House is a lifetime of study for students of abnormal psychology for generations to come. So freaking what? The son of a bitch who threw this poor congregation into chaos for the foreseeable future was merely a symptom, a yellow mucus-producing sneeze. The disease was provided by the authors that he was reading, the instigators.
the trocars, that embalming rod that is inserted into the cadaver's stomach for the purpose of liquefying the vital organs. Mike, the moment I heard that it was Unitarian Universalist Church that was shot up, I absolutely knew that it was politically motivated. No use watching our backs anymore. Some fetid Republicans coming through the rear interest. Some fetid Republican is coming through the rear interest. You can bet your chalice on it. With no illusions about an Obama administration, I can't wait for January 20th so that I can sit down, have a cathartic weep, and then catch a glimpse of a little light. Signed, AJ, the Music Factory. And there are thousands of Atkinsons out there just waiting for the right trigger who have been just totally, totally eaten up by people like Hannity, Savage, Limbaugh, and the rest of this filth. And I I've said it a million times. I don't understand. I really don't. What sort of a mindset exists that the companies, the corporations, the syndicators, the radio chains, whatever, that put these people on? What are they thinking about? The only thing I could come up with is what I said a week or so ago, that this is protection that corporate America pays in order to keep everybody's attention diverted away from the theft of our liberties, our freedoms, our pocketbooks that these sons of bitches are committing every single day. So corporate America has an interest in putting people like Hannity, Savage, and Limbaugh on the air and keeping them there. In the meantime, people die. People will continue to die by right-wing terrorists in the United States. Welcome back. The Malloy Program on Nova M Radio. It's Beach Boys night. Thank you very much. We want to play one more time the Campbell Brown, Erica Hell piece regarding last week's, I guess that played on the weekend. The C team comes in. Campbell Brown is married to Dan Senor, who was a mouthpiece for L. Paul Bremer in the Coalition Provisional Authority, the occupying army civilian authority, when we invaded Iraq for no reason other than wanting to steal its resources. Dan Senor is a classic neoconservative warmongering thug who is married to Campbell Brown. And Campbell Brown, who used to be at NBC, is now a reporter or anchor or newsreader. I guess newsreader is the more correct, that's not even correct, copy reader, because what they read is not news. But I want you to hear this again. Just first listen to the snotty, smarmy tone of Campbell Brown and the package producer, Erica Hell, while they discuss the almost impeachment hearings of the Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee. Listen to this.
You might have thought there was big news on Capitol Hill today. Democrats were talking about impeaching the president.
No!
But actually, it was all just stagecraft. And Erica Hill is here. Tell us about this piece of kabuki theater, Erica.
Oh, and Campbell Theater it was. Today's House Judiciary Committee hearing was officially billed as an examination of executive power and its constitutional limitations.
Whoa.
But from the beginning, it was pretty clear this was all just stagecraft for what one Republican lawmaker deemed impeachment light. The Democratic leadership made it clear impeachment is not on the table at this hearing today for two reasons. Not only is there not enough time left in President Bush's term, but also they know any real impeachment hearings at this point could cause a major backlash against the party come November. So if you can't impeach, why not vent?
Yeah!
And that is exactly what they did. Take a listen.
Oh, okay. We'll listen. All right.
To the regret of many, this is not an impeachment hearing.
Based upon all of the things that this administration has done, it is probably the most impeachable administration in the history of America because of the ways in which it has clearly violated the law.
President Bush is the worst president our country has ever suffered.
Seeing words here, but I have to point out, Campbell, they were very carefully chosen, and this is probably my favorite part of the stagecraft. Apparently all Democrats on hand had a copy of the House rules in front of them just to remind them what they could not say because this was not about impeachment. Among those rules, there could be no personal abuse, innuendo, or ridicule of the president. Also, no calling the president a liar. You can't accuse him of lying. Get this. Can't accuse him of raping the truth, or my personal favorite right down here, you can't call the president a little bugger.
You snotty
now,
little
that's
twit.
That's a good one. Who knew? All right, so if this is really just stagecraft, not to mention a real waste of taxpayer money and Congress's time.
A waste of our money?
Did any Republicans even bother to show up for it?
Actually, a few did. Most Republican lawmakers boycotted the hearing, but a few were there, and those who did attend, as you can imagine, were downright disgusted.
Oh, really?
This week, it seems that we are hosting an anger management
conference. Can you hold it? Can you stop it? Pause it right there?
Nothing is going to come out of this hearing.
Okay, the punk ass speaking there is Lamar Smith of Texas. And do we have a link up at our website for this? We will at the end of the program. CNN labels him Lamar Smith D, Texas. And the next one, Trent Franks of Arkansas, another Republican thug, and CNN fonts him Trent Franks, Arkansas, D. Now, weren't we led to believe that only Fox News did that?
Get this. Can't accuse him of raping the truth, or my personal favorite right down here, you can't call the president a little bugger. No, that's a good one.
Oh,
all right, so if this is really just stagecraft, not to mention a real waste of taxpayer money and Congress's time.
Wasted our money?
Republicans even bother to show up for it?
Actually, a few did. Most Republican lawmakers boycotted
I can't stand to listen to these half-assed twits any longer. I really can't. This is what passes for reporting at Chicken Noodle News. This is what is inspiring to people who want to go kill liberals, open fire inside a church during a children's play. It's stuff like this. There's no let up to this. And what Campbell Brown and Erica Hell did is just mild. It's nothing. It's vanilla pudding compared to what Hannity, Limbaugh, and Savage do day in and day out across the fruited plain without let up. And then finally, people start to go berserk, whether it is this freak Atkinson in Tennessee or Timothy McVeigh blowing up a federal building in Oklahoma. It doesn't make any difference. If it's militia types who decide to go kill some wetbacks down on the Texas Mexican border, I'm going to get me a cup. I'm going down there and shoot them. I ain't going to shoot them. I'm just going to beat their brown asses. That's what I'm going to do. You know, no respect, none whatsoever
for the humanity of people. Well, God damn it, Mike, they shouldn't cross into our country illegally. Yeah, you're right. And we shouldn't cross into theirs with NAFTA and destroy their livelihoods and devour their farms. We shouldn't do that either, should we? Huh?
Well, God damn it, Mike, that's the law. So, God damn it, Mike, that's legal.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And we shouldn't have factories in Postville. Is it Postville, Iowa? Is that where it was? Where 300 people, mostly Guatemalans, were arrested for working at a kosher meatpacking plant under conditions that most white people in this country, and not a few blacks, wouldn't even tolerate for 5 minutes. But a nice kosher meatpacking plant, 300 people, 250, 275 arrested, all of them found guilty, all of them detained. Huh? What about them? What do you do about them?
Well, God damn it, Mike, they broke the law coming into our country. They shouldn't come into our country and break the law, Mike. God damn it.
Yeah, you're right. They shouldn't. Dan in Chicago says, glad she led with that CNN piece. Notice that the actual Republicans, Lamar Smith of Texas and Trent Franks of Arkansas, are labeled Democrats in the CNN hit piece. The two lady reporters have done the public an even greater disservice here than even Fox Noise could manage. It's a damn shame when CNN, supposedly unbiased in their coverage, starts emulating Fox. Doesn't Fox have the copyright on calling Republicans Democrats when said Republicans aren't piping the right tune? And Sandy in Portland writes, Mike, the snitty tone of Campbell and Hill isn't surprising and runs across all networks, cable and otherwise, as you have often noted. Recall Charlie Gibson and Stephanopoulos, Kate and Couric, and all the others on the major networks. I also noted Andrea Mitchell's condescending reporting about Barack's international trip last week. Just disgusting. Like Campbell, Mitchell's married to a neocon traitor, Alan Greenspan. The contempt of these people toward the U.S. and its citizens is palpable. To you and me, why not to the rest of the country? These folks have been given everything and in turn have taken so much from this country. All they do, day in and day out, is take a big steamy dump on all of us. Does anyone really care? Oh, never mind. Sandy, Portland.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour, a couple emails here. Regarding the tone of voice of those two women on CNN, Campbell Brown and what is it, Heather Hell, Erica Hell?
All they needed was like too much cappuccino Perino, and they could have like gone to the mall and had some really bitchin' haircuts and bleach jobs and whatnot. You know,
it was awful. It was awful. It was even worse than that. Anyway, Cindy writes, I remember when my son was a kid, I told him if he were ever to have a girlfriend, to hold her hand and talk with her as they walk in the park and just listen to her voice. Keep listening for a year to see how you like her voice. The fact is, after you're married for so long, you hear your wife or husband more often than you actually see your wife
or your husband. Therefore, don't marry someone with a grating voice. My husband Steve wanted me to share that with you, Mike, because he said that woman's voice is why Republican men need so much Viagra. Cindy. Sari or Sari? Is it Sari? Sari writes, no one seems willing to bring up that Thomas Eagleton was disqualified from even running for vice president because of having electric shock therapy for depression. Yeah, Eagleton was, oh my God, who is the guy, the presidential candidate? It was McGovern. Yeah, Jesus. And McGovern picked, I think Eagleton was a member of Congress in Missouri, I think. And then the press found out that and published the fact that he had had electroconvulsive therapy for depression. That's what Sarah's writing about. No one seems willing to bring up that Thomas Eagleton was disqualified from even running for vice president because of having electric shock therapy. Yet McCain had electric shock torture and was not merely depressed, but tried to kill himself twice. Why is it okay for him to run for president? PTSD is real and lasts for many decades. I'd love to hear you raise this issue. After all, while McCain's medical records were released recently, his psychiatric records were not. It's a foot race, sorry. Will McCain's head fall off before he goes nuts, or will his brains fall out before his head goes all rotted? I don't know. Oh, by the way, Sari has an interesting, is it Sari? I hope I'm pronouncing it right. If I'm not, I'm sorry, Sari. She has a Barack Obama clock. This is pretty cool. Sent me a picture of it. You can see it. Go to cafepress.com/Barack clock. cafepress.com/Barack clock. She designed it. She's selling the clock, and she's donating 50% of the proceeds to the Obama campaign. Check it out. This is kind of cool. If you're a Barack Obama fan, if you're not, probably scare the hell out of you. cafepress.com/Barack clock. Thanks, Sari. And regarding we're gonna come to your phone. We're coming to your phone calls. One more email here, then the break, and then your phone calls. This is from Leland, who writes from Los Angeles regarding all the Beach Boy music we're playing tonight. Leland writes, Mike, I've been working as a casting assistant for 2 years back in 1978 when a pretty blonde thing who'd already worked a lot, Karen Lamb, came to the audition an hour late. She explained she'd had a fight with her husband that morning and had put a few rounds into his stupid Maserati, and then the police were called. Her husband, as you may have already guessed, was Brian Wilson. Final recollection, I was in the eighth grade in 1964 when my typing teacher, Miss Wilder, said somewhat evocatively of Loretta Young saying to Richard the Lionhearted in The Crusaders back in 1935, you got to save Christianity, Richard, you got it. But Miss Wilder said, she explained to the class, it was very important to continue to support the Beach Boys and not be swayed away to the exotic and foreign sounds of the Beatles. Yeah, that's very true. All right, when we come back, two sound bites from McCain, very quick, and then on to your phone call. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Baby, I need you, darling.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Bodies in the sand. Drop the cocaine, melting in your hands. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a steel drum band.
Down in cold. 25 before the hour. All right, this past Sunday, yesterday, on CNN with former German U-boat commander Wolf Blitzer, John McCain said Al-Qaeda had not been defeated. And then, magically, this huge light bulb came on and over his head, and my head. And I remembered I had an audio clip of him saying just the opposite. So we did a little checking, and on May 15th this year in Columbus, Ohio, McCain said Al-Qaeda had been defeated. July 27th, McCain says they haven't. Well, listen to both clips and you tell me.
And it's not over, as I said. Al-Qaeda is not defeated. They're on their heels, but they're not defeated.
Okay.
Next. Violence still occurs, but it's spasmodic and much reduced. Civil war has been prevented. Militias disbanded. The Iraqi security force is professional and competent. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has been defeated.
Now, wait a second. On July 27th, he says they haven't been defeated, but on May 15th, they have. I'm all confused. Let's try this one more time. Now, which one is from yesterday? The first one? Okay, let's play the first one.
And it's not over, as I said. Al-Qaeda is not defeated. They're on their heels, but they're not defeated.
Oh, okay. They're not defeated. That was from yesterday. All right, now let's go back to May 15th and hear what McCain says.
Violence still occurs, but it's spasmodic and much reduced. Civil war has been prevented. Militias disbanded. The Iraqi security force is professional and competent. Al-Qaeda in Iraq has been defeated.
Well, they made a hell of a comeback then in 2 months, right? Oh, never mind. The last thing here before we go to your phone calls, and this is what I blogged about today at NovaMradio.com. Dick Cheney. The veterans, disabled American veterans, have pulled their invitation to this piece of human excrement. Cheney was scheduled to appear at 8:30 in the morning at the DAV's August convention in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks. And Cheney's demands that he put on the DAV, the disabled vets, were outrageous. Cheney's crew said that the vets would have to be there 2 hours before Cheney showed up. They couldn't leave during that 2 hours. So and they weren't allowed to leave until Cheney left. So what that meant was, well, according to David Autry, who is an official with the Disabled American Vets, many of these vets are elderly and left pieces of themselves on foreign battlefields since World War II, and others were crippled by recent service in Iraq and Afghanistan. And for health reasons, many of them can't be stuck in a room for hours, if you understand what being gut shot to the groin can mean in terms of holding your urine or holding your bowels. Sometimes these kinds of wounds are so destructive that retention of body waste or body fluid becomes an impossibility. You just can no longer do it. That's one of the prices
that so many members of the military have paid in order to make sure that corporate America can get wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, and somebody like Dick Cheney can be so wildly successful as a corporate master of the universe. If it means giving up your bladder or your colon, well, soldier, you enlisted, right? Isn't that what the right wing says? Mr. Autry said the vets would have had to have gotten up at 0:30, if you know what that means, to try to get breakfast and showered and then get their prosthetics on. Once outside, he said, or once inside the meeting room, he said, or the hall, they could not leave, and the bathrooms are outside. Cheney's office said he's very sensitive to combat veterans' needs. He said it's, we understand, but, you know, the vice president would never let us do anything that didn't help facilitate the needs of our veterans. But even so, if they have to pee or if they have to relieve their bowels, they're going to have to just wait, because this is Dick Cheney. And we're afraid that one of these veterans might have a moment and pick up a weapon, and, you know, all kinds of bad stuff can happen. Now, of course, we'll screen them. We'll make them roll their little machines through metal detectors. But, you know, those wheelchairs are all metal, so everything's going to go off. The lights are going to go off and the buzzers are going to go off. We don't know. There may be a gun in there. So I'm sorry, but, you know, Dick Cheney loves the veterans. He likes them mostly when they're dead, but he kind of likes the ones that are horribly disabled. The ones that can still get up and walk around and stuff like that, he doesn't have, you know, doesn't want to truck with them very much. But the disabled American vets, yeah, he wants to be there because they are very malleable. So many of them can't move, so they make great props, great pieces of furniture when Dick Cheney wants to talk. And they're blinking and they're breathing, so it gives the appearance that these people are there freely and of their own will. But if they have to go poo-poo or pee-pee while Dick Cheney is having breakfast and brushing his teeth and screwing in new batteries into his pacemaker, no, they can't do that. They're going to have to sit there. You know, they can put a crimp in their colostomy bag, or they can pinch off their catheter, but can't leave the room because this is Dick Cheney. And as I wrote today, you got to wonder what this disgusting, contemptible piece of human waste, Dick Cheney, what's he afraid of? This man is cowardly. Anyway, the disabled American vets told him to, I wish they would have said it the way Cheney said it to Pat Leahy. Remember that? Go F yourself. They took back their invitation to this horrible, twisted, bloated man, Dick Cheney, and said, no, sorry. Our guys are in a little bit too much discomfort to sit in a room for 2 hours and not move, waiting for your ass to show up. You deserter, you coward, you draft dodger, you freak. Why would they invite him to begin with? Why would the disabled American vets invite someone who despises not just the military, but veterans as much as he does? Oh, he makes his little photo op appearances, but, I mean, come on. This is Dick Cheney. This is a man that tucked his tail up into his body cavity and ran like a scared squirrel when it was his time back in the 60s to go serve his country, while at the same time he advocated more slaughter, more death, more blood, gallons of blood, oceans of blood in Southeast Asia. Bring it on. Open the pumps. Bring on the blood. More blood. Body parts, heads, arms, dead babies. Only not me. I've got better things to do. Then join the goddamn military. Let other people do it. And if I have to get, what's her name, knocked up in order to get my deferment extended one more time, what have I had? 7 deferments? Oh, God. I'm going to have to sleep with Lynn? Ugh. Okay. Boink. Now, see? She be preggers. I'm safe. Why would the disabled American vets want this scum sucker to come talk? Make a long story short, they took back his invitation. And when Cheney spoke to the group in 2004, The thugs who handle his schedule imposed the same security lockdown, and a lot of members were upset. A lot of them had to wet themselves and relieve themselves, sitting in chairs so as not to disturb Cheney. This time they said no. David Autry said, quote, "It was a huge imposition on our delegates," end quote. Unbelievable. All right, your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Come on this loop, John B. My grandfather and me. Around Nassau Town we did roam, drinking all night. Got into a fight. Well, I feel so broken, I wanna go.
Reality radio for a rational world. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
Okay, got a couple of emails here. Correction on the email I got from Leland in L.A. Karen Lamb was married to Dennis Wilson, not Brian. Dennis, of course, was Brian's brother and the Beach Boys drummer, but... memory will do that to you, right? Anyway, thanks to the folks who have the Beach Boy memorabilia so well compartmentalized, huh? I've gotten two emails from people saying, "Oh, stop!" But I can't, you know. Tonight is Beach Boy night. Phone calls. Yeah, that's right. Phone calls. Chris is calling from Hollywood, Florida, listening on WINZ. Chris, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey, Chris.
I was listening to the Beach Boys, and it's funny, Brian Wilson, you know, the guy has some mental problems, some psychological problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, he received some award, and he said he just wanted to make people feel good. And you see all these conservative screwballs, and they want to make people angry, and they want them to be violent and kill.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's why I'm playing Beach Boy music tonight, because while they had a couple of moody kind of records, it was mostly just fun. And it wasn't such a fun time in the country back then. I mean, Vietnam was raging,
right.
All kinds of bad stuff. But
Brian Wilson kind of felt bad, and he knew how bad it felt, and he didn't want other people to go through that.
Good point.
And these guys... to drag everybody, like Dick Cheney is a miserable human being. I mean, I'm angry about it. I don't enjoy your show. I appreciate it because it's very informative, but my blood pressure goes up, you know,
yeah,
6 points.
I hear you.
And the reason I called about the Campbell Brown thing, I mean, I'd love to kick her in the ribs, but during the hearing, Bugliosi was on. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to read his book. I hadn't listened lately.
No, I haven't read it yet, but I did watch his very brief testimony.
Yes, but he, you know what? It was a knockout performance.
Yeah.
And he really, Trent Franks, he really looked like he wanted to go up and rip out his neck and, you know, and the other Steve King fella. Man, I mean, this Bugliosi, see, our problem isn't the conservative Republicans. Our problem is the people like Keith Olbermann who have been complaining and calling these guys criminals for 7 years, and they won't do anything. They won't have Bugliosi on. They won't. Bugliosi's an attack dog. The guy's a brilliant prosecutor. You know, I haven't seen anybody discredit what he said in the book, and I've read the book, and the book was right on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these guys, they want, you know, why is he blacked out?
I don't understand the media blackout either, especially on Oberman's program, Countdown.
Yes, I don't understand it.
Oberman, there's something I think people have to understand. Oberman's program has been on now, what, about 4 or 5 years? And I remember when he first came on, and we would mention it on this radio program about, wow, who is this guy?
Right.
But Oberman does not control, he doesn't have final editorial control over what goes over his program. Whereas someone like Charlie Gibson or Brian Wilson, who's the guy on NBC?
Brian Williams.
Brian Williams, that's right. God, I got the Beach Boys stuck in my head. They have final editorial control. When I worked at CNN, the anchors always had, this is back when they were real anchors, the anchors always had final control over what they were asked to say or not say on television.
Right.
But that has dissolved now. That's not because most people who do television news are not really news people. They are hired for a pretty face or unique approach to these stories. And I have great respect for Oberman. I think he does a good show. I try to watch it every night right before we go on the air. But he doesn't have final editorial say.
Okay.
So,
well, I was out of line a little there then.
No, not really. I mean, I would think that he would apply some pressure. He is the star of the show. He is the one who is... help bring MSNBC out of the doldrums. He is the one who is very quietly put up with the nasty, crappy-ass comments from this Republican freak on in the morning, Joe Scarborough. He's shown an awful lot of dignity and an awful lot of humor and intelligence, Oberman has. I wish it'd be a little pushback, because if he really wanted to, I think he could get Bugliosi on. But just point of interest, he doesn't have a complete editorial control of his program.
I gotcha, Mike. I really appreciate what you've been doing. I mean, you called a spade for forever, and I mean, just keep it up. You know, I got your back, and you know, just keep trying to spread the word. That's what I'm trying to do from my small perspective. But,
I hear you. Well, you know, most liberals have small spheres of influence, but we keep trying, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Chris. All right. Take care. Spitfire is calling from California, listening on the Internet. Hey, Spit.
How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. You know, you and I are from the same school.
Yeah?
As far as gun-toting liberals.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to hang out with guys that remembers the UAW over there in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go deer hunting and rabbit hunting, stuff
sure.
like that.
Absolutely.
And those guys had very left-to-center positions. But then this was back in the day when the NRA used to actually perform a service. They used to tell farmers not to put up fence lines that would interfere with the migration pattern
mm-hmm.
of the deer.
Oh, I've said this before. I was a member of the NRA back in the, 70s, I guess, 60s or 70s, until they all went insane. Hey, hold on, Spitfire. Let me put you on hold. I'll come back, and we'll pick you up on the other side of this break. And your phone calls, too. So if you got something to say, now's the time to say it. 800-989-1480. Stay with us. Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio. The boats that eventually brought her down. But she's still dancing in the night, unafraid of what to do. In a town full of heroes and
sunlight plays upon her head. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
racking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Welcome back to the Malloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. Beach Boy music tonight. All right, we were talking with Spitfire before the break. Let's go back to Spitfire, who's called in from California. By the way, if you want to join in, we have two open lines. The number is 800-989-1480. All right, Spitfire, where were we?
Just talking about the fact that we were both gun-toting liberals.
Right.
Yeah. I really think that maybe this nutcase, this right-wing brainwash nutcase, he probably thought all the men in there would shriek like little girls and go running because, you know, liberals are supposed to be afraid of guns.
Mm, yeah.
He took a whole bunch of ammo, and apparently he fired 8 shots, which is what the gun, you know, pump action holds.
Mm-hmm.
And he must have been in the middle of reloading when they tackled him.
Yeah, they got him, and while he was shooting, and I mentioned this earlier in the program, one of the people who was killed put his body between the shooter and other members of the congregation, not the kids. The kids were in the basement, apparently, and this psychopathic right-wing bastard came in through the basement. He had his weapon in a guitar case, is what the reports I've been reading. And he was told that he couldn't come in there, so he went upstairs instead of opening fire on the children, which I think is what he planned to do. You know, I'm not in favor of the death penalty, but and this is when those kinds of attitudes are really tested, when my attitude about being anti-death penalty is really tested. Assault on children, child murders, going into a house of worship, stuff like that. It really puts me to the test. So I have to say that I hope they put this miserable bastard away for a long time. He'll get plenty of attention.
Not in the media, he won't.
No, he'll get lots of attention when he goes into prison.
Yeah, but not in the media. The media is going to bury this one. They're going to devote a day to it, and then they'll just like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, because this is a right winger that flipped out. And you know how many I've often said that there are people out there that are just waiting for a go order from Rush.
Sure.
You know, I mean, seriously, if they thought that they could get a tax cut by going into nursing homes and putting pillows on little old ladies' faces, they would.
Yeah, do it in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Do it in a heartbeat. Rush's Operation Chaos, I haven't heard anything else about it, but what he's suggesting to his brain-dead zombies that they participate in Denver during the Democratic National Convention, that they go out there and you know, do 1968 all over again, you know, turn over cars, burn people. It's amazing. And the son of a bitch continues on the air and gets a new contract worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's just astonishing to me, Spitfire. I just can't understand what.
Yeah, let's see if Savage gets a raise.
Oh, Savage! Oh, sure. I'm sure he probably will. Because he generated controversy, got a lot of attention, and that translates to bucks. Even if you're talking about if you're ganging up and being a real monster on children who can't defend themselves.
It's kind of sad that you can't get syndication, huh?
I'm sorry.
It's kind of sad you can't get syndicated.
We are syndicated. That's what.
Well, I mean, you know, your own show, as in.
You mean product. You mean on 300 radio stations?
Yeah.
That'll never happen. Never. I don't ever expect it to happen, given the makeup of corporate radio. It's I'm amazed that I'm carried on 25 stations, if that.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that Randy is carried on 35 or 40, if that. I don't even know what the numbers are anymore. But corporate America will not take a program like mine, like Randy Rhodes, like Tom Hartman's, and put it out there for general consumption on 300, 400, 500, 600 radio stations. They won't do it. And then we have to listen to these right-wing ghouls say, well, the marketplace is speaking. No, it's not. The marketplace is not speaking. Corporate America pays an enormous amount of money for this protection racket that people like Savage and Hannity and Limbaugh provide.
And people like me or Rhodes or Hartman or Peter Werby or whoever, you know, it doesn't make any difference.
No, a piece of social justice doesn't sell.
No, no, of course not. And we don't provide that kind of cover. So that's just the way it goes. All right.
Yeah, they like to stir up the rabble.
Yeah. And every once in a while, these talk show hosts go too far. And, you know, corporate America has to respond a little bit, like Affleck dropped off from advertising on the pig show about the comments about kids with autism. But they'll be back. You know, it just, you know, they drop off and say, hey, look at us. We're great corporate citizens.
It didn't used to be that way, though. I remember back in the 60s, they used to have, like, the guys who were playing music like you're playing tonight. They'd come on and they'd tell you where the next peace march was being held.
Yeah.
The DJs back then, you know?
Right.
Really?
I know.
Yeah.
Not any longer. All right, Spitfire. Thanks
a
lot.
Easy.
All right, man. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon, listening on KGOE. Hey, Joe.
Speaking of radio talk show hosts, you know, personally, Alex Jones is kind of a hero of mine,
uh-huh.
And you're not going to find him on commercial radio anywhere.
That's true.
I mean, nowhere at all. You got to find him on the internet. Now, I want to talk about this half-assed so-called impeachment hearing they had on Friday. First of all, of course, Bob Barr was invited to speak, which I don't have a problem with. But I noticed that Cynthia McKinney and Ralph Nader, which have been talking about the impeachment issue like forever, mm-hmm. They weren't invited to speak. It's kind of funny, you know, I guess the Democrats don't consider Ralph Nader to be a threat this year because I haven't heard any rumors lately about him being gay or anything like that. But you know...
Or Cynthia McKinney being an agent of the devil.
Oh, well, yeah, she don't even get mentioned at all, at all.
Right.
Hell, she has more congressional experience than Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama combined.
That's true.
It is true. It is true. And this stupid impeachment hearing, I don't know why Kucinich agreed to this nonsense in the first place. What were the ground rules that if anybody said anything about King George or King Richard lying to the American people or that the Iraq war was illegal or anything, that the hearing was going to be gaveled to a close right then and there? I mean, what the hell kind of a hearing is that?
Well, it was nothing. It was a masturbatory exercise, and the lead masturbator was John Conyers. I guess this was his way of showing his constituents and the Democratic Party that he's a good soldier. You know, he can bring the stuff up, but it's only going to go so far. It was disgusting to me. I appreciated the testimony of these people, the witnesses, the so-called witnesses, the ones that were sane. There were a couple of insane bastards sitting there that had been invited to provide balance. You know, I wonder if the Nuremberg war trials, did they have character witnesses for Goering and for the rest of these killers? Did they have character witnesses? Did they have people show up at the Nuremberg war trials and say, well, you know, Hitler and the Nazi command really didn't break any laws. They did everything legally. I mean, Jesus, we all know that. Poland was ready to attack on horseback. We had to go in and stop them. You know, stuff like that. So,
Hitler wasn't that bad a guy. He was a vegetarian. Actually.
Yeah, he was a vegetarian. And, you know, back when his name was Schicklgruber, he was, you know, he was a house painter. He's making a good living. Nothing big, but, you know, making a few bucks. No, none of that. You know, and inviting these professors to speak for torture, lies, illegal wars, destruction, death, murder, mayhem, was, you know, I'm astounded. I just sat there through most of that hearing crap with my mouth hanging open, wondering what the hell universe I was in. Thanks, Joe. Got to go. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Thank you.
faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Twenty-one past the hour. All right. Irish Dave writes in, regarding McCain's medical records, Dave writes in, Mike, I hate it when that happens. The old coot did not release his medical records. He allowed pre-selected individuals to view them, absent the head case stuff. That's right. You're right. How quickly we forget, and that's what people like McCain count on. Yeah, his medical records have not been reviewed. If they were to be reviewed, I think it would be very clear not to wish a cancer death on anybody, because I've seen it happen to two members of my family. But McCain's days are numbered in terms of his skin cancers. I think that is clearly evident. His head is going to just decay and fall off, and no one will notice. What is that? What you said? No one will notice. I think people would notice if McCain's head fell off for a moment. Back to your phone calls. Charles is calling from Connecticut, listening on the internet. Hey, Charles.
That was quick.
Yeah. Well, that's because, for some reason, nobody wants to talk to me tonight, and you're the only one that was on hold.
Oh, you poor thing.
I know. I don't know. Maybe it's... hold on a minute. No, it's not my breath.
Well, maybe it's mine. first, for those who would like to contact this church, which is a 500-member congregation, so that actually is sizable.
Yeah, it is. That is a matter of fact, that's very good size for a Unitarian Universalist Church.
Yeah, because the
congregation.
Yeah, mine's a little bit bigger, so Westport's considered actually huge in comparison.
Wow.
And New York has one that I think is 1,100.
But that is, that would be the equivalent of
almost a mega church.
Yeah, a mega church, sure.
But anyway, you could email at secretary@tvvuuc.org.
P like Paul.
Yeah.
UVV.
Yeah. TV like the TV.
Okay. Wait a minute. P or T?
T. Like T, what you watch.
Like television.
Yeah.
Okay. Email it to secretary@tv.
UUC.org.
TVUUC.org.
Yeah.
Secretary@TVUUC.org. If someone wants to email condolences.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to talk about is our wonderful economic position. That, you know, they're now claiming that, oh, it looks like it's going to be worse. And I keep on hearing the phrase, the wealthiest nation in the world. How could you be wealthy if you literally have to borrow billions of dollars every day, literally just to keep the lights on?
I wonder.
We are bankrupt morally, we are bankrupt ethically, and we are bankrupt financially.
So what do we do? Do we just wipe the slate clean and start over? I mean, we're kind of stuck, aren't we? Granted, the economy is collapsing. Granted, there is no leadership in this country worth a damn. Maybe Barack Obama and his cabinet will come up with something. Who knows? But everything seems to be going to hell. I don't like to focus on it too much because it you know, drives me crazy. But what's the answer? What we keep looking for. What's the answer?
Well, I was thinking, you know, back in the 50s and the 60s, when the upper echelon's tax rate was around 90.
Yeah.
And the thing that they don't like
is that while they were wealthy, the middle class was rising up. As Sam Cedar put it months ago, you know, or you have 10 million, you're going to only be left with 8. Oh, yeah. Poor baby.
Yeah, right.
But you have to do that. You have to take back the welfare checks to the wealthy that George gave them.
Right.
And there has to be nothing. I would say, you know, 6 months moratorium, you corporations give the money or we're going to take it. And it's got to be no holds barred, because an emergency can't be declared because we are in a financial crisis.
Yeah, we are. The other thing, Charles, I think should happen is they should reduce, under penalty of prison, CEO pay to maybe 40 times average worker rather than 400. Thanks, Charles. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
He's the primal scream you suppress. Embrace your inner liberal warrior with Mike Malloy.
Now, come on, if you're over a certain age, you know that that Beach Boys tune just makes you go all wobbly, right? Come on. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Back to your phone calls. James is calling from Victorville, California, listening on Sirius. Hey, James.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Kathy, and hello to the NSA who's listening in on this phone call.
Yes,
I have a comment about the truck driver who shot up that church. And being a truck driver myself with 3 years' experience, you know, taking an accident free, I can close my eyes, open up a phone book to trucking companies, point to an outfit, and get hired there. So there's really no reason to be unemployed in the trucking industry unless you did something really stupid.
Well, the other thing that was interesting, the report said his food stamps either had run out or were about to run out. Food stamps, that's something that liberals made sure that people would always have at least something to eat, no matter how poor you were in America. So this guy was brainwashed by Hannity, Limbaugh, and Savage into go out and commit murder. I believe that. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm a lawyer, crazier than hell. No, I'm not. Hannity, Limbaugh, and Savage are co-conspirators in this kind of violence. Just like Limbaugh was definitely a co-conspirator in the attack on the Murrah Federal Building by Timothy McVeigh. There's no question. None.
Yeah, what about that? You remember that guy who was on the radio says, yeah, well, these guys need to be shot, and I'll buy the bullet.
Sure. Yeah, who was that? Michael Reagan.
Yeah, that was Michael Reagan. I hate these people.
Oh, they're awful. And yet corporate America will put them on the air. People listen. I don't know why. I think about people who are on the verge of losing it, and there seems to be an awful lot of those, and understandably so, in this country right now. Listen to this garbage all day. Young people listen to this garbage all day. And yet corporate America or the business community or the right wingers who own these radio networks just don't give a goddamn. They couldn't care less. They don't care. If listeners go berserk, and flip out and start shooting in a church full of children, it doesn't mean anything to the people who own Limbaugh or own Hannity or own Savage. They just don't care, you know. I can't understand that. It makes me sad on the one hand, and just makes me furious on the other. But that's where we live. That's where you and I live now, James.
Well, maybe not for long, because things are going to change and are going to have to change real shortly.
Well, I hope that's the case. I really do. All right, listen, man. Thanks for checking in.
I'll be standing right next to you.
I hear that. Okay, James. Thank you. See, I believe this, and this may be just, I don't know, leftover 60s thinking, huh? But I believe we're so much better than this. I really do. I think we are better as a people, not individually. You know, you have people who are just living in some little psychosis-filled world, no matter what society, no matter what era it is. You know, that's just part of life. You have crazy people. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way, at all. But it just seems that in a healthy society, or a society that's trying to be healthy, you don't try to get the mentally weak among us to commit acts of violence, which is what, I mean, Savage. Just his whole show is about violence against people who can't defend themselves. There's a lot of violence suggested on my program too, but it's against people like Savage, who can defend themselves, who are perfectly capable. And Limbaugh and Hannity and the right winging or the right winger thugs and neocons who forced this country into yet another war of violence against them. Hell yes. Of course, violence against them would probably be a losing proposition, because they own all the weapons, except the little handful that I own. But you understand what I'm saying. What the right-wingers do, they never target people who would beat their asses into a pulp. They don't dare. They target groups or individuals that they assume are weak, or they assume have no are not a constituency for any kind of power in Washington. That's who they target. Or they make up whole subcategories of people who really don't exist, like the liberal media. There's a classic example. But every right winger at heart is a coward, every single one. And they inspire other people to acts of cowardice. Walking into a church with a semi-automatic shotgun and 76 rounds of ammunition is an act of cowardice that is off the chart of cowardice. It's beyond being an absolute, utter coward. Walking into a church full of children doing a production of Annie, setting a charge in front of the Murrah Federal Building in a Ryder rental truck, knowing that the charge is going to wipe out a daycare center. I mean, these are not acts of courage or a political statement. These are the acts of cowards, thugs, rat bastards who have had their heads, their brains eaten alive by Michael Savage and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse, because these people have been told for years now that the problems they're facing are the result of mismanagement of the economy or the country or morality by liberals. And they bought into it when just the opposite is true. I mean, I defy anyone to show me how conservatives have done anything to make this country sane, safe, secure, moral, legit, ethical. And it's a fool's challenge, because there's nothing. There is nothing. I mean, I can make that challenge all day long, and there's no way that a right winger can answer the challenge, because conservatives have done nothing, absolutely nothing, except eat at and destroy what's left of this country. We're still able to save it. We don't have to go out and kill a bunch of conservatives. We don't have to walk into a fundamentalist church somewhere and open fire. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is throw the right-wingers out of government
and stuff candle wax into the mouths of these rat bastards on right-wing talk radio. This is not freedom of speech. It is not freedom of speech to incite murder and mayhem and riots and evil and unethical behavior and immorality and death and destruction. That is not freedom of speech. That's madness. It's just utter madness. And then we pay these bastards to do it. We pay them to do it. The First Amendment guarantee of freedom of speech is that Congress, the government, shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. Corporate America could shut these sons of bitches down tonight by simply pulling the advertising support. That's all they have to do. That's all they have to do. And if this little punk-ass Sean Hannity or this bloated Limbaugh or this absolutely insane Michael Savage, if they want to continue to spew their hatred, go ahead. Go ahead and do it. But do it without the support and the financing and the loving handling of corporate America. Limbaugh just got a $10 million or $100 million signing bonus to do what? To do what? Yeah. Nobody wants to take away their freedom of speech. These rat bastards can talk forever. But why should corporate America underwrite it, sponsor it, pet it, stroke it? You know, why? I don't have any answer to that. It's just purely rhetorical question. Mark is calling from Chicago, listening on Sirius. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm pretty well. Actually, in a way, you kind of answered my question with that last monologue there. But in any case, I guess I'll give it a shot anyway. Do you think perhaps conservatism is a form of mental illness?
I don't think there's any doubt.
There's no doubt at all, huh?
No, I don't. I think it's poisonous to any society. I mean, if historically you look at any society across the span of civilized society, civilized so-called, go back as many years as you want, as many centuries as you want. Five centuries, 10, 20, 30, it doesn't make any difference. Once a society becomes a so-called conservative, it's doomed. It's absolutely doomed.
I've heard those terms bandied about so much in the media that I really don't even know what they mean anymore. I mean, I hardly even know. Like, for the longest time, I really didn't even know I was a liberal, because the kind of picture that they painted of these people, of these so-called liberals or whatever, is just like, well, I'm not doing that. But I found out really what liberalism, I guess, is, or true liberalism.
Well,
true
liberalism is an honorable, just philosophy, whether it's political or otherwise. Thanks, Mark. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour. Thanks to our crew for this Monday night program. Ian Huff, who engineered. Billy Foster, our technical director. Ben Birch, podcast manager. Bob Alexander, our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence. Sharon Gordy, our military affairs correspondent. Catherine Bay, the executive producer. And if you haven't been to NovamRadio.com lately, go ahead. Especially if you're a founding member, we have... I guess it's not new now. When did we put it up? Last Friday? A Malloy reads the hate mail video. That is so much fun to do. Bob Kincaid writes from headonradio.com, Mike, the Freepers are on the shooting story. Nice folks, those freepers. Here's a couple of the filthiest. Quote, it was probably a mini-rally for the Obamasiah, and they were singing, "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow," otherwise a musical about a poor woman, a poor orphan, Annie, who is befriended by a rich capitalist, Daddy Warbucks. Doesn't really fit the universalist Unitarian agenda. Now, maybe if there were a lesbian relationship between Annie and Mommy Warbucks, or Annie got pregnant and had to raise money for an abortion, that would be truly a part of the universalist Unitarian worldview. End quote. Quote, he, 60-year-old Greg McKendry, who jumped in front of the gunman's bullet, he did die doing good, which is nice, but if his choice of churches is any indication, he died without knowing Christ. Death without Christ equal eternal separation from God equal hell. End quote. Mike, Bob writes, there's a civil war in this country, and the other side, at the urging of multimillionaire hate mongers, is attacking on all fronts. Savage calls for autistic children to be slapped. Dobson says little children should be beaten until they cry real tears. Ann Coulter suggests the bombing of the New York Times building and poisoning a member of the Supreme Court. O'Reilly suggests a lynch mob for Michelle Obama. Limbaugh calls for riots in Denver. Me? I keep the shotgun in clean and working condition and run a couple dozen rounds through the pistol every month or two. At this point, it's just good common sense. I don't feel good about it. But when the other side's calling for liberals to be ball-batted, poisoned, blown up, and otherwise murdered, it's foolish to just let them do as they please. Bob. This is a different Bob. This is Bob Kincaid over at headonradio.com, which you ought to check out. You really should. Head on, as in collision. Back to your phone calls. Bill is calling from L.A., listening on KTLK. Hey, Bill. Hey, Bill.
Oh, yeah, hi.
Hi.
Thanks for coming back on the air in L.A. We really appreciate it.
Well, we're very happy KTLK picked up the program.
Well, it's common sense on their part, but what I want to say is that, you know, every now and then you hear right-wing scumbags talking about, oh, what's a hate crime? There's no such thing as hate crime.
Right.
Oh, isn't all crime hate? This incident in Tennessee is a perfect textbook example of what a hate crime is.
Well, so was the killing of 160-plus people in Oklahoma City a few years back and the bombing of the federal building. That was pure hate.
Well, yeah, but those idiots are going to say, oh, well, you know, he was a patriot. He thought he was doing the right thing for a country. No.
Yeah.
In this case, you have the psychopath who wrote down that he hates liberals and gays. And he went to a church that proclaims its
support.
Yeah, and then went there heavily armed
mm-hmm.
to kill them. That sounds like the definition of a hate crime. And any time some idiot says, oh, what's a hate crime? No such thing. That squeeze. This is what it is, and it should be explained to them over and over again.
Yeah.
Like they're ever going to get it. But, you know, while you were talking before, I think I realized the root cause of the problem here. This country committed the ultimate sin about 130 years ago when it created corporations in the image of man and gave them all the rights of personhood and more.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have these corporations that manifest themselves as filth like Rush and the rest of those scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is the problem.
It was one of the, or a couple of the framers, I don't know, maybe Franklin, maybe Jefferson, maybe Washington, and nobody has to email me what the facts are here, but they warned against the formation of corporations even back in the late 18th century. It was still clearly apparent to people who understood the experiment they were about to hand off to this new group called the American people that the biggest threat would not be internal dissent or external invasion, the biggest threat would be from these things called corporations that would utterly and absolutely devour the idea of representative government. And it's come to pass. So
I believe Jefferson said that.
Was that Jefferson? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. Well, and what? Not even 100 years after they said that, there it was.
Yeah.
And we've been suffering for more than a century since then.
That's why
we have corporations that oppress us, that tax us, that run, try to run us into debtor's prison, that raise that create onerous laws on credit cards that we all need to survive and want to charge us 30% interest and get away with it. That's why they can get the money to buy our Congress, because our Congress has prostituted itself to these corporate gods.
Well, you know, the thing I don't understand, Bill, and I really mean this, the thing I don't understand, thanks for checking in tonight, is, you know, we could put a stop to this, I think we still could, anytime we decide to put a stop to it. We really could. It's not corporations who go fight wars and die. A corporation is a piece of paper that's been filed someplace in a legal brief. We could stop this anytime we wanted to. I just wonder why we don't feel like we want to yet. I don't know. Hey, listen, thanks for hanging out tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.